Hi, I'm Kennedy Ferrugia with Pharmacy Times, and you're listening to Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, where we break down the latest news in the oncology pharmacy space. On this episode of Pharmacy Focus Oncology Edition, we recap some of the leukemia and breast cancer therapies shared at the American Society of Hematology and the San Antonio Breast Cancer Symposium 2023 conferences. We start by speaking with Amir Ali, the hematology and oncology clinical pharmacist with the Norris Comprehensive Center. He discusses how Hispanic patients with Philadelphia-like B-cell acute lymphoblastic leukemia continue to experience poor outcomes.
What we notice is that Philadelphia-like ALL is a very heterogeneous disease, and patients certainly differ in terms of their characteristics when you go from one patient to the next. So it's important to step back and understand that responses really can differ per patient. But what you notice sometimes is specific genetic altercations or mutations associated with Philly-like ALL. Sometimes we have targetable mutations that we're able to target. If they have the ABL translocation, you're able to target that specifically with some TKIs. There's some preliminary small data looking at Philly-like ALL and using these TKIs, but certainly a lot of research is needed for these patients. What we've noticed also in the realm of immunotherapy is the use of blinatumomab. Certainly there's been a lot of cases where we're using immunotherapy, blinatumomab, which is a BiTE therapy that targets CD3 and CD19 in ALL cases. There's a lot of work with that agent looking at Philly-positive ALL, but more work certainly needs to be done for Philly-like ALL. So our understanding is growing slowly, but certainly there needs to be more research that's done to look at these patients specifically in the response to immunotherapy. So we know that in the Hispanic population, there is certainly a high incidence of ALL and also a high incidence of Philly-like ALL. Being at USC, Keck Medicine of USC, we certainly have a demographic that's very rich in Hispanic patients. And we thought it would be prudent for us to specifically look at the outcomes, the clinical features of these Hispanic patients suffering from Philly-like ALL. So that was the premise of our abstract at ASH, is specifically looking at our large subsets of patients suffering from Philly-like ALL, looking at their clinical features and outcomes. And we certainly have some very powerful results that we've seen, and it confirms a lot of literature out there that's already out there and also being presented at previous conferences. So what we're finding with our results is certainly that Philly-like ALL patients, specifically looking at Hispanic populations, is associated with an increased risk of relapse and a poor event-free survival for these patients as well. We actually are looking at specific mutational subtypes for these patients, so we can see a lot of incidence of the CRLF two mutation for these patients, and that's also indicative of poor response to therapy of these patients. So it's really confirming our understanding that these Hispanic patients are experiencing a lot of these poor outcomes, mainly because of that Philly-like mutation. So it's reinforcing the fact that more research needs to be done in this specific subtype of patients.
Next, we spoke with Xiaolin Zhang, founder, chairman, and CEO of a biopharmaceutical company, Dizel Pharmaceuticals. He discussed a wealth of information about drug mechanisms, positive endpoints, and the need for pharmacists to be educated on the safety of a new drug candidate for diffuse large B-cell lymphoma.
We know BTK is a important enzyme involved in the B-cell signaling transduction. Now, and in the especially in CLL, it has shown tremendous efficacy and bring tremendous benefit to the patients. However, eventually the patients will relapse and develop resistance to BTK inhibitors. About 50% of the patients who develop resistance to the current BTK inhibitors is due to a single mutation, C481S mutation. So once the patient developed that mutation, the BTK inhibitors cannot bind to the enzymes. But another 50%, paradoxically, actually significantly decrease or kill the BTK enzymes. I mean, that tells us immediately that at least another past 50% of all the other pathways are involved. When patients with this type of mutation, they no longer rely on BTK signaling pathway. So not only BTK pathway is important, but NIM pathway is also important. Now, so we designed a drug that the dual inhibitor not only can inhibit the BTK, the wild type, and the resistant mutation C481S, but it can also inhibit the NIM pathway. So essentially, we can totally shut down B cell receptor signaling transduction pathways. We should bring additional benefit in diseases that are rely on B cell receptor signaling transduction pathway, but they do not respond well with BTK single agent alone. So we test that in diffuse large B cell lymphoma. For diffuse large B, the current BTK inhibitors have some activity, but not that great. You know that it is important, but not that as critical as, say, CLL. Right, the overall response rate probably is in the around 15-20%-ish. However, because we hit both, we expect we should bring much bigger clinical benefit. Indeed, that's what we observe in our trials. Admitted, it's early days for the 85-86, but in our small subset of patients, diffuse large B, we saw over 80% response rate, which is, I mean, it's very, very rare. And we believe we found the drug that can really shut down the B cell receptor transduction pathways. That's why we have such a dramatically high response rate in this disease.
Next, we spoke with Douglas Warner, Chief Medical Officer at eFector. He discussed a comprehensive overview of zodotiffin and its current state, with a focus on ER plus HER2 breast cancer.
So maybe the best approach is to take a step back and talk about zotadovin's mechanism of action. So we know that tumor growth is often driven by the overproduction of key tumor-promoting proteins, and zotadovin works by suppressing a network of some of these important tumor-promoting proteins. And some of these are particularly important in breast cancer. For instance, the estrogen receptor alpha, CDKs 2, 4, and 6. So CDK 4 and 6 inhibitors are major and important drugs in the treatment of ER-positive breast cancer, and other proteins like cyclin D and E. So zotadovin works by inhibiting the production of these proteins. Sort of the specifics of that, it inhibits an enzyme called EIF4A. It's a helicase. It actually unwinds messenger RNA, and messenger RNA gets translated into protein. So it prevents messenger RNA from getting translated into these key proteins. And the data that we presented is really two sets of data. One is an expansion cohort of zotadovin combined with abemaciclib and fulvestrin. The trade names for those are Verzenio and Faslodex. In an expansion cohort where we looked at 20 patients and we looked at safety and efficacy. And then we also combined zotadovin with fulvestrin in a dose escalation.
Lastly, we spoke with Troy Bremer, Chief Scientific Officer at Prelude DX. He discussed a biosignature model and its potential in predicting radiation therapy response for those with early stage invasive breast cancer.
So patients with early stage invasive breast cancer today have an excellent outcome for survival, and we're doing better than we ever have before. In many cases, those patients can have a recurrence that occurs much later in time than what you would typically consider within a five-year period where you're evaluating a lot of drug therapy. And so in these cases, radiation therapy still plays a critical role in helping to reduce those recurrences locally and in in doing so, improve the quality of that patient's life, which is really the goal of these therapies that are not associated with survival. This biosignature helps identify those patients who have late stage failure in time and helps better prepare the identification of those patients to receive an appropriate treatment. And again, this is for an improvement in the quality of life over a decade and not just the survival over a limited period of time.